Thank you. So, for the sake of all mother sentient beings throughout equaling the limits of space, one must by every means attain the supreme state of full enlightenment in order to be able to benefit all these beings. And in order to attain this state of Buddhahood, we shall now listen to these teachings. So please try to adjust your motivation in such a proper way.
So the
topic of the talk is the topic of the teaching is the three principles of the path, which are respectively renunciation, bodhicitta, and emptiness. And here, within the context of renunciation, there are two portions of the process of reversing one's attachment to this life, or the process of also reversing one's attachment to future lives. So the process of reversing one's attachment to this life is by contemplating this precious human rebirth endowed with the various freedoms and richnesses, and how it possesses great meaning and is extremely difficult to obtain. And also one contemplates on the fragility of this body, how that that death is certain and all phenomena are impermanent by nature, especially one's life. So one contemplates on death and impermanence and the precious human rebirth to destroy one's attachment that's clinging to this life.
Yes. So yona yodan genge socha seta me nongju che de ne sha da pa wa da ru ba da ten de che de so do na so go ne so ba longa man zhen me ge tong de ne de yo ro ni da de da ge ne longa ni wo ne so ta men du da de me nyong ge ta ne so de me che ta ga ri che go yo se na ne na sa ge de ba nam
So generally, having contemplated upon death and impermanence as well as the precious human rebirth, then seeing the next life as being more important than this life, so seeing the next life as being more important than this life, and seeing that at this time of death, when death occurs, then one would helplessly have to take rebirth in either of the six realms. You know, this is a situation that cannot be avoided. So then also considering the fact that in our mind stream there is heaps of negative karma from previous lives, we have accumulated a lot of negative karma, and this negative karma then remains in our mind stream, and at the time of death is very dangerous in the sense that this heap of negative karma, if left unpurified, can cause us to be closer to the lower realms. And then considering that what would happen if we were to fall in the lower realms, you consider the individual lower realms, those in the animal realms, the hungry ghost realms, and the hell realms. So considering, for example, if you're born in an animal realm, then animals are generally being used as slaves, you know, by humans. So being, you know, humans use them for tilling the fields and using them for their flesh and skin and so on and so forth. So when these animals, and also they are prone to being preyed upon by other animals. So by contemplating the suffering in the animal realms, the experience of that particular realm, if it were to happen upon us, how unbearable that would be. So by virtue of that, then one searches for a method to prevent any possible rebirth into the lower realms. And then hence one comes to understand that one needs to purify all previously accumulated negative karma. Then one relies on the four opponent powers to purify the negative karma. And for example, the first power is the power of reliance, in which case one goes for refuge to the three jewels with strong faith. Understanding, if one has strong faith in the three jewels, believing in three jewels can protect us, and if one goes for refuge in such a thought, you know, a mind of faith, that is, you know, it is impossible that the three jewels would not be able to protect us. So therefore, this is how the general structure of the lower skull is. So then, when one goes for refuge through the three jewels, there needs to be two factors of mind. Two mental factors should be present in one's mind stream when preferring refuge. The first is that of fear, fear of falling to the lower realms, And the second is that of faith, faith towards the power of the three jewels that have the ability to protect us from the lower realms. Firstly, this fear of the lower realms is understood through seeing the negative karma one has created through countless lifetimes, and how this would, at the time of death, be very likely to cause us to fall into the lower realms. Hence, out of the fear of the lower realms, one goes for refuge to the three jewels. Then if one does that, then this is what it consists of, refuge of the lower scope being. And not only that, if above that, you know, one not only considers the fear of the lower realms, one considers the entire picture of psychic existence, understanding that the entire nature, you know, the nature of the entire psychic existence is suffering only, then generating fear of the suffering of psychic existence and going for refuge to the three jewels. Now that form of refuge is a refuge corresponding to the practice of the middling scope, being of the middling scope. Then above that, if one considers not only for the sake of oneself, but seeing that oneself and all sentient beings, it's not just one individual alone, but oneself and all sentient beings are similarly caught up in this same situation of psychic existence, then having fear towards, you know, the suffering that oneself and others has to go through, and wanting to be free of it, then one goes for refuge to the three jewels. This is a refuge practice of beings of the higher scope. So, hence, at this point of time, having reversed one's attachment clinging to this life, then one goes for refuge to three jewels in order to protect oneself from falling into the lower realms, and then one aims for a higher rebirth. However, one goes on further on to a higher level of understanding that even though one may be born as a god or a human being, then even wherever, as long as we are caught up in cyclical existence, wherever we may be born, whatever spot or place or location, it is only in the nature of suffering, as long as we are not free from cyclical existence. For example, since beginner's rebirth until now, we have had countless rebirths as gods of, you know, kings of the gods, you know, such as Indra and Brahma and so forth. We would be born as kings of the gods, the heavenly realms, ruling over the heavenly realms for many, many times, in countless lifetimes. However, in those times, when we were ruling over the heavens, because our negative karma wasn't purified, we still weren't free of, and we weren't free of cyclic existence. Therefore, when that karma was finished, we fell from our throne, from being a king of the gods, and back into the lower realms. So in this case, one must understand that as long as one hasn't severed the root of cyclic existence, even one has a one achieves the rebirth of a magnificent body, achieves rebirth in a place of great abundance and enjoyment, all of that cannot be trusted at all, regardless of how desirable they may be. So they cannot be trusted because they are in the nature of suffering. Sooner or later, they would manifest into a form of suffering. For example, and you may wonder that how about the beings in the form realms and the formless realms? These beings, do they experience suffering? So in actual fact, you should understand that even beings who are born into the form and formless realms, even if they do not have, because they're constantly in meditative concentration, they do not have direct appearance of suffering. However, once their karma to remain in these realms, in deep meditative concentration, once that karma has finished, has been exhausted, then they will definitely fall into the lower realms, experience suffering very easily. Everything will just start all over again. So therefore, one must understand that, as long as we're caught in cyclic existence, there is no true happiness. Therefore, in this way, one reverses one's thought of attachment clinging to a happy rebirth in future lives. One's thought is attached to or clinging to happiness of future lives and cyclic existence in general.
Yes.
So here the text itself says reverse attraction to future lives. Think repeatedly of the infallible effects of karma and the misery of this world. So this is referring to the section that was just covered. And following that, the other verse says, contemplating this, when you do not for an instant wish the pleasures of samsara, and day and night remain intent on liberation, you have then produced renunciation. So therefore, by thinking of karma, and its results, then one reverses attachment to this life. And thinking of the general suffering of samsara in general, then one reverses one's clinging attachment to a future life, such as whole cyclic existence in general. So when one generates renunciation to its cyclic existence, what happens is that one, in one's mind, one generates a very strong determination or desire to be free from cyclic existence. This is thought desiring for a liberation, taba, which means liberation, desiring for liberation. And there's also a very strong wish to abandon bongwa, which is abandonment of the delusions or the afflictive emotions that bind us within samsara. So in this case, the mind of renunciation is characterized by the desire to attain liberation, to be liberated from suffering, and to also to a strong wish to abandon the delusions or afflictive emotions that bind us within cyclic existence. So, but in general, to meditate on the suffering of samsara in general and to generate thoughts of a revulsion towards samsaric pleasures, by meditating on the suffering of samsara, then one does not arise thoughts of wishing for samsaric pleasures, even though they may cross one's path, may cross one's mind. However, it is only when our minds are like completely focused on this thought of renunciation, day and night without respite, our minds are totally focused on attaining liberation and abandonment of delusions you know, that we are not so slightest distracted by cyclic the pleasures of samsara. This is at that time that we have generated pure renunciation. It is a mind that is not created. It is a spontaneously arisen mental attitude. At that point of time, that is the true realization of renunciation. So therefore, by generating such a strong thought of determination to be free from cyclic existence, when this strong renunciation is being generated, and if one engages in the practice on the basis of this strong determination, one engages in the practice of the three higher trainings of ethics, meditative concentration, and wisdom, then one would definitely be able to achieve the state of liberation from cyclic existence. However, this achievement is merely limited to the benefit of one individual alone. You know, because this practice is not being bound, but up to this present point, you know, this practice is yet to be bound by the thought of bodhicitta. You know, therefore, it does not become a Mahayana practice, it does not become an act of the bodhisattvas, and does not become a cause for Buddhahood, enlightenment. Therefore, it is that the intelligent bodhisattvas then, on top of renunciation, also cultivate the thought of bodhicitta in order to bring about the cause for Buddhahood. So the mind of bodhicitta is a mind that is unable to withstand the suffering of sentient beings. And with that mind, one seeks a means to liberate or free the sentient beings from their suffering, and finding the Buddhahood to be the best method. Then the mind is generated thinking, in order to free all sentient beings from suffering perfectly, I shall attain the state of perfect Buddhahood. So this is the mind of bodhicitta.
Mm-hmm.
So then, when one generates this mind of bodhicitta, then having known the benefits of this mind of bodhicitta, by merely aspiring for it alone, it's not sufficient. One needs to actually engage in the methods for arising such a state of mind. Therefore, one needs to engage in the actual practices for generating the mind of bodhicitta. So, for example, one of the practices is what we call the 7 points of cause and effect, the 7-point cause and effect method. And through that, one generates bodhicitta through a gradual process. Firstly, by thinking of the infinite sufferings that oneself and others have to undergo in cyclic existence, and then generating great compassion for all the different suffering of all these sentient beings. So one goes through the process of recognizing sentient beings as having been one's mother in previous life, and generating the thought to repay that kindness. Generating the thought of them as being generating warm-hearted love towards these sentient beings, and generating great compassion, and then the altruistic intention, and then bodhicitta. So in this case, then one goes to the various methods as mentioned here. In the verses it says, renunciation without pure bodhi mind does not bring forth the perfect bliss of unsurpassed enlightenment. Therefore, bodhisattvas journey the excellent bodhi mind. So this was the passage before. In this part it says, swept by the current of four powerful rivers, tied by strong bonds of karma, so hard to undo, caught in the iron net of self-grasping, completely enveloped by barrenness of ignorance. So this is the general situation of oneself and all sentient beings. And it says, you're born and reborn in boundless samsara, ceaselessly tormented by three miseries. All beings and mothers in this condition, think of them generate bodhi mind. So this is referring to the 7-point cause and effect method of generating the bodhicitta mind. Yes.
まだ。うん。ね、どんがじなそ、こうはて、じゃんそちんぼとペジャ、じゃんそちんびそうずこ。はい。ね、あ。これだ。こうはのこうでね、てち、だんだ、あ、例の読むもんをこうはのこうでよるわ。で、ね、え、だんだんめち、ね、え、注意気のびわけ。え、注意気はだんだんまぜこ、 예나나 담매가 예나 근데 저 제자야다 된다게 봐 도모도 그러와 근데 예나 대요 담지요 근데 다 대 묘몸 받대 쇼도 빼지않네 그래다 주어지 도비 주어 세비 주어 따비 주어 마리비 주어서 주어지 주인지 제로 묘하지 근데 레진 중화 타바다 디 담 레지 담 묘하지 네. 대단 맞아요. 네. 자지 잡에 놓는 조지와 있나? 저기 키노데. 근데다 この 파비의 담이 어레. 파비의 담마다 로트바 있나요? 자지 잡에 놓는 파토고 말아. 된다게네 단지 마리바데 가지 남인 폼베 레데 세바 있나요? 단지 대용원게 레사데사. 된다게 아닌데네 잡에 놓는 추기선으로 차대. 다, 단다, 자제 자비는 수지 요나요, 그게, 그래다, 통과번호, 텐데, 이나, 니, 델리 탑이 탑, 젠다 텐데, 파, 레자, 세야, 용거로와, 대매바지, 다, 뒤에 소, 롱게, 니, 난디, 마리비, 니, 뭐, 땡야, 텐데, 게, 논들 지에 통해지, 이나, 자기를 해야 돼, 대요, 논도 이제 메토바 논도 이제 봐라 몸마 말이 비드네요 요다지 다 아 된력에는 다 가보다 말이 비드디 요나요 아 내가 때나 동안 용가 메나 요도 다로 아 대연에 동안 좀 이제 좀 메봐 다 동안 좀 아 나서 주보라 나서 수세지 요와 다로니 아 동안이 동안 할 수 있어요 와 이제 단단하네 사제 대왕 전부 요대야 되지라 유비 동아스 동안 아마도 방가 연두 된 유가 너무 친네 근데 대비성 너무 친네 마도 동안 대왕 매가 연두 는 유비 동아스 다 거기 시험은 이제 감 고민 하라 동아지 동아도 유비 동아 매나요 근데 차반 두세 동아 요아 인사 동아지 내내 내년에도 지선 대왔어 그 농한 용약이 그게 성원으로 오지, 요요 말해. 근데 얘네들, 농한 용 조조하게 성원으로 돼요. 아래. 근데 얘네들, 농한 좀 이제 전쟁 매바 난, 고아, 참백에 가와, 농한 지금 고백 내 토시가 쓰세요. 근데 너네들 용나요, 자반도제 농한이 난네요. 아, 얘네들 고백 내 농한이, 만나게 내가 중세죠, 매아래. 근데 얘네들, 이제 농한이 났을 때 삼매, 이제 제거래요, 성원으로. 인제지 다 인제지 연도 대제 동안에 타는 제마로 연면 인제 여도 다 그런 게 눈에 다게서 안 나오지 내년지 담 아니 마리비 보스 모마 모비 드립지 여인도 그런 눈에 다 담해가지 다음에 대 탑이 탑대 dan yin ji chong yin du gong na tel tabi tab rong ge chi tel tan du ji lo chi tel dro ge tab de rong ge che du ji sa sum yin bi wa re yin da ta rong ge da yin de dong na na ba tel tabi tab che gong du che go ga re se na rong dong ge na wa no ji yin dong ge na wa yo men do ban dan da re ne rong de chin do ban no ji yin de chin do ban yo dan da re yendu de chane chen na yo yendu dong ga dra gong do de tan ma se ne ma nam ji se ne je wang ma thom ma me ba ne nga so je wa chong me ba ji no yo yendu de ga la ma ji ba chong ji me chu ba ji so chin ji chong ba chong ji me chu ba ji je yo re yendu chong ma chin ji chong ya wi ta chen ne ja tu ba ji ma yo na ne ji zo me na ma ro ta ji zu yo yendu chin zo go yo re 이나요 단단 안 온서다 롱용 거기 동안 맡아 있는데 예 동안에 들어와 제 동안 타다에 들어와 제비 누바요 말해 누바 설에 요나 요다버서 손지 공부나 요디 나게 마겐 되나 거기 동안에 들어와 제도 손지 공부 터바 자오 년비 네 삼바 쇼친 부지 제야 되라 아 전주 선 제스 미시
쇼시 데 카리나 쇼시
노베 쇼 세비 쇼 다위 추워, 마리 비추워
두배 추워, 세배 추워
다위
추워 마리 비추워 So here it is using a lot of different analogies to describe the suffering state of mother sentient beings. Firstly, it says that swept by the current of the four powerful rivers. So here are the waters I used to describe suffering of samsara in general, the immense suffering of samsara in general, and also used to describe the karma and delusions that cause us to circle within cyclic existence. So here the analogy is being carried away by water. You know, one is being helplessly carried away by water, and if one is free. One is being carried by the four waters, it says here. So, four powerful rivers. And this is the river of suffering, the river of attack, grasping, the river of wrong views, and the river of ignorance. So, in this case, one is being carried away by these four rivers and tied by the strong bonds of karma, which are hard to undo. So, the analogy of a being bound by the bondages of or the chains of karmic links. You know, if one is being thrown in the water and if one is free to swim, you know, at least one could free oneself from the river. One could swim to the opposite shore. However, this is not the case. You know, if certain beings are being bound by the chains of karma. And above that, there's also the additional layer, which is what we call the iron net of self-grasping. So if something, if one has only chains, at least one can swim. But here, one is being tied up, you know, completely bound tightly with this iron net. And this is an analogy for self-grasping. Because of this self-grasping towards, grasping towards inherently existing self of persons and phenomena, then one is unable to free oneself from cyclic existence. Now, even though one may engage in positive acts, but as long as one's karma, whatever karma one creates, is being bound by the thought grasping into the self, then that karma, whether positive or negative, becomes a contaminated karma. It becomes contaminated by the self-grasping thought. Therefore, it will ripen into a form of suffering in the future lives. So in this case, one then generates the thought, understanding that not only is one caught, you know, in the water, not only one chained up, but also tied up by the iron net, and one is also enveloped by the darkness of ignorance, you know, towards the ignorance of the truth of reality. That this darkness completely overwhelms oneself, and then it says, "You're born and reborn in boundless samsara." Ceaselessly tormented by three miseries. So, when it talks about the darkness of ignorance, it talks about the sentient being's ability to differentiate between what is to be abandoned and what is to be cultivated or practiced. However, if sentient beings have that kind of discriminating knowledge or wisdom, you know, at least they'll be better off. However, sentient beings do not have the ability to differentiate or discriminate between what is right and wrong, what should be abandoned and what should be cultivated. So, therefore, there is no, sentient beings do not have possessed the eye of wisdom, therefore they do not have the light of wisdom, therefore they are enveloped by the darkness of ignorance. And the sentient beings, you know, if they are currently not experiencing any suffering, then they're at least slightly better off, you know, despite all these negative conditions. However, that's not the case, because sentient beings are constantly being tormented by the three types of miseries. The three types of miseries, which is the misery of pain, the misery of change, and the misery of contaminated aggregates, or the all-pervading misery in this case. So, what we usually we call the three types of suffering. So in general, in the lower realms, the realms lower than God realms, you know, for example, the desire realms, then they have gross forms of suffering, such as in the human realm, the Titan realm, and below, they have the suffering of pain. And then there is also the suffering of change as well. You know, whatever experience of happiness or bliss that you may encounter will be prone to change and transmit into another form of suffering. So, therefore, but beings, as mentioned before, beings in the higher realms, they do not, even though they do not experience the gross sufferings or the core sufferings, but because they are bound by this contaminated aggregates, you know, they still have the all-pervasive suffering. Therefore, after the karma to remain in these God realms has been exhausted, then it would fall to the lower realm and suffer. So, therefore, one should generate a thought, the thought thinking, generating great compassion towards all beings, thinking how wonderful it would be if we were able to free all beings from suffering. You know, how wonderful if they were free from all suffering. So how wonderful it would be free from suffering. But however, we ourselves are currently being entrapped by our own ignorance. You know, we have the obscuration of the delusions. We have the obscurations to knowledge or omniscience. Therefore, we ourselves are unable to free ourselves from some particular existence, let alone free others. So generally, in the beginning, considering not the suffering of oneself and suffering of others as well, by understanding that the desire for happiness, desire to attain happiness and to be free from suffering, is equally strong within oneself as it is in others. You know, is equally strong in others as it is in oneself. So therefore, by understanding the equality, you know, of this intensity, equal intensity of desire to attain happiness and free of suffering, then one focuses on the thought that all living beings are not actually unrelated to oneself, because since beginningless rebirth until now, all living beings have been our mothers, not only once but countless times. And in each and every rebirth, they have shown us infinite kindness, and then we generate the wish to repay their kindness. And the best way to repay their kindness is to free them from suffering and place them in states of happiness. But however, by looking at our current status, you know, we are unable to do that because we ourselves have not freed ourselves from cyclic existence. Therefore, we are powerless to accomplish such feats. And the only person who can perfectly perform works to benefit sentient beings, place them in bliss and freedom from suffering is the Buddha. Therefore, one strives to attain the state of Buddhahood in order to benefit, you know, achieve Buddhahood for the sake of all beings, to benefit them ultimately. So this is the mind of Bodhicitta, and this is how one goes about generating the thought of Bodhicitta.
Marta, attendene. Zendon de Dodo Donye de Tongu de Sim Yuda Tirayina, Reda, Zenle, Da Ronye Tirayina, Nar Rondon Tohachi. And the wrong Gibarson, Chigiorva. That and the same thing in the corner, and it is in don't over Jen Gibarson, and the wrong Yavato. Nice Yavato is told the wrong Yavato. nga rong chi ban sin mi so da la shen chin chi ban sin ka ten le go ne ne yen ju do nga rong ge ten de so le rong ge de chi ka re yon de de ge ka re yin na yo yen la pa to ten de chen ne to ne go da la chen ne song ju sim chu che ru to ya ten de nong ge yo yo yin ma
So in order to enhance one's practice of bodhicitta, one can also engage in a practice of what we call giving and taking. In this case, one again focuses on the desire for happiness and not wanting suffering, you know, within oneself and others. And also one focuses on the suffering of other sentient beings. That one imagines taking on the sufferings with a mind of great loving kindness and compassion. One takes the suffering of other sentient beings upon oneself, you know, upon one's own current sufferings. And then one imagines giving away all of one's happiness and bliss to all living beings. So this is a practice of giving and taking, and it's a method for enhancing our practice of
bodhicitta. Then I run and don't have a chumba in a yon, take a land, send the donga yonkomare. Run and don't have a chumba in a change the donga on the long day, coach also. That day in the change the donga the coach who you wrong a yen the donga the so long but that and that means so. And then they'll shoot chess it. And then you wrote china and the change the donga a shayake tab yonkere something. The similar got the yonkere.
So by practicing this method of giving and taking, over time one would become more accustomed to such a practice, and eventually one would become fearless of suffering, in that one's mind remains peaceful throughout all times. One's mind is not moved by suffering. So whenever, even if one undergoes suffering, you know, one would, on top of being readily remembering to take the suffering of other sentient beings upon oneself, one also reminds oneself that this is a fulfillment. You know, that's the experience of suffering is a fulfillment of one's prayers to take the suffering of others. So therefore, the mind becomes extremely happy to engage in this act of altruism. One prays to be able to take even more suffering of sentient beings. So this suffering experience becomes increases, you know, in intensity, and then one may be able to take more of sentient being suffering. So hence, one's mind becomes fearless to its suffering, and then, you know, no form of suffering will be able to disturb oneself in one's practice. So, as mentioned before, if one is unable to practice such an altruistic thought of bodhicitta, at least one should focus on the suffering of some cycle existence that and generate the thought wishing to be free from it by remembering that it is the nature of cycle existence to be in suffering nature, you know, to be suffering in nature, and understanding that whatever suffering that one may experience throughout all of one's existence, all of that has come about through only come about through one's state, you know, one's state of cycle existence. And then this is because of one's karma and delusions that is binding oneself to this state, and therefore one should strive to abandon this root of
samsara. Dandi Marvinian Bodhi Matovayina, Tele Jun Rins and Kovan and Nadayare. Then they end the tears for China, send this ayate, or to so tung tung, or chichate yore. In the end, Tendela, Deji Tunga, Karishona yon, or go to tung nore, Tela came into, and this is my pencil, Dunga Manyonaji, chungro chena samne ene tende mendo ba chong yendu tende samno to thoba yena yo semla yo shide jile yo ba de cho
so even if we are unable to generate a wish or desire to abandon sexual existence, at least in our minds we should reverse one's attachment towards this life by understanding that by contemplating on the preciousness of human rebirth and impermanence of this life, understanding that since beginning rebirth until now, we have had countless rebirths, and in which rebirth it was only the experience of suffering. And all the experiences of happiness or suffering in this life alone are only mere fleeting moments. They are not worthy of our over attachment or placement of over importance on these events in this life. They are mere fleeting moments, so therefore one should remember that and then reverse one's attachment towards this life. So therefore, as one progressively goes through the various stages of Dharma practice, as one goes deeper into the practice of the Buddha Dharma, one experiences more bliss and happiness of the mind. You know, one's mind is more spacious. So as one can see, compared to somebody who does not know any Buddha Dharma at all, as compared to someone who has a little bit of Dharma practice, you know, when something happens in this life, for that person who has a little Dharma knowledge or practice, you know, then they know how to, they're more like cool-headed, they're more relaxed, you know. they know that, you know, the events of this current life are mere fleeting moments, you know, they are not, they're transitory, they're not that vital, you know, to our existence. Hence, the person is able to have more mental peace. However, compared to that, for the person who does not know any Dharma, then becomes overly focused on the event that happened or that incident that happened to them, and becomes overly caught up in that little world of perception. And then sometimes, because they do not have a broader sense, wider sense of perception, then their minds become very uptight. Eventually, they might even resort to taking their own lives due to the frustration involved.
So
So therefore, if one is able to generate the Dada Bodhicitta within one's mind stream, then one is able to have a mind that is extremely wide and great expanse. And also, when one generates Bodhicitta, then whatever merits that one accumulates, you know, then becomes extremely great. You know, whatever little amount of merits, you know, for example, a little act of virtue, then becomes multiplied to great extent due to the one thought of Bodhicitta. For example, if you were to offer one butter lamb for your own self to the three jewels, then even though you may dedicate that virtue to achievement, to the goal of achieving a better rebirth in a future life, or to an achievement of liberation from cyclic existence, however, that offering, because it's not being bound by the thought of Bodhicitta, therefore that offering remains as just the merit equivalent of making only one brother lamb offering or one candlelight offering. However, if you offer only one candlelight offering or one brother lamb offering with the mind of Bodhicitta, then one is able to generate infinite merits, you know, based on that one offering alone, because of the mind of Bodhicitta focuses on the welfare of all sentient beings, thinking that in order to benefit all sentient beings may attain a state of full enlightenment. So therefore one is offering on the behalf, in order to attain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings, which are infinite. Therefore one candlelight offering becomes multiplied by the number of sentient beings equaling the limits of space. Therefore it is a very expansive amount, and one's merit gets multiplied by the number of sentient beings that are existing. And also one is the goal that one is aspiring towards is full enlightenment, full Buddhahood, in which one is completely exhausts all of one's faults and obscurations, and is also the state whereby one completes all of these qualities, one's qualities are naturally completed. So in this case, all of these offerings that are made, even if it's just one small offering, that accumulates huge amount of positive karma. So therefore one can see why the traditional masters have said that on the basis of the mind of Bodhicitta, one is able to complete the accumulations of merit and wisdom, and one is able to complete all of one's accumulations, and one is able to purify all of one's negative karma and obscurations on the basis of Bodhicitta practice alone. So therefore one can see the measurable benefits of taking Bodhicitta as one's main practice.
So therefore, tīn zinsū nōngshīn tē tōna tōbiyāru vēsē nā tē tōbiyāru mārē yīndu yīndu tīn zinsū tā mādhū pārān zinkēngi lō tē lā tā mē tōbi shīrā lō sīgī yōrē kē tā zinsū ngūngar dī shūgā mā rōngunī rūpān zinkī yōrē wā chēkī yāndu rōngunī mādhū pān zinkī yōrē yīndu rōngunī mādhū pān zinkē rōngunī mādhū pā tōbi lō tē lā tā mē tōbi shīrā lō sīgī yōrē yīndu Dhammedo Vishira Meva Yena Nelu Tobis Nelu Senare Yorti Nelu Tatu Senare Yorti Ege Tengi Tonyi Yorti Tengi Dhamme Ta Tanda Jiva Chati Yorwa Dhammedo Vishira Meva Yena Ene Sibir Tawa Dhandi Maribata Jotu Maris Diye Chedo Ene Nelu Toba Chego Res Thela Yon Ene Re Tese Tendri Tobi Tawa Des Tendri Nimare Hane
So understanding that oneself and others are immersed in the ocean of psychic existence, the suffering ocean of psychic existence, then therefore one strives to achieve Buddhahood, the state of Buddhahood, in order to benefit others. However, achievement of this Buddhahood state is not sufficient on the mere practice of the conventional form of bodhicitta alone. One needs also to cultivate the wisdom aspect of the path. Here, conventional bodhicitta is considered to be the method aspect of the path, but the wisdom aspect of the path is the wisdom realizing emptiness. So one needs to cultivate the aspect in order to perfect the state of enlightenment, or Buddhahood. So firstly, we should understand that we are being born in samsara simply because there is a root of samsara, that is our karma and delusions. Our karma and afflictive emotions or delusions, as long as we do not abandon these two, you know, then we will still be caught up in psychic existence. So amidst these two, karma and delusions, delusions are the major factor in causing, bringing about the circling of samsara. So by understanding also that all delusions have their source in the mind that's grasping upon the self of persons and phenomena as inherently existing. This mind of grasping is a mind of ignorance, not understanding the truth or reality. And this mind is that which gives rise to delusions and causes about the cycling of samsara. Therefore, it says here, so you practice renunciation and bodhi mind without wisdom, the realization of voidness. You cannot cut the roots of samsara. Therefore, it strives to understand dependent origination. So here, by understanding that the cause of samsara is this mind grasping upon inherently existing self, there's a root of samsara. Therefore, we should strive to cut this root, you know, cut through this mind that grasps at the inherently existing self as being truly existent. You know, so this mind is a mind of delusion, a mind of ignorance. It needs to be cut through. And so generally, how does this mind function? You know, when this mind, it perceives phenomena, it does not see phenomena as being merely labeled by the perceiving mind. It sees phenomena as appearing from its own side, you know, phenomena as appearing completely indifferent from the side of perceiver, being self-appearing, you know, from the side of the phenomena itself. For example, when we perceive the eye, we see the eye as being an individually existent phenomenon, you know, an individual that has that is not dependent on other conditions to come into existence. It is as if it possesses the power of self-existence. So the mind that grasps onto this as being true and established, you know, then is the basis or the cause for the arisal of all delusions and mistaken minds. So therefore, we need to apply the exact opposite of that, you know, by seeing that this form of grasping, you know, is cannot be established. The projection that the mind grasps onto is a mind that cannot be established. So therefore, by seeing that all phenomena as lacking this ability to exist from its own side, appear from its own side, you know, then what is, you know, we achieve what we call the mind that understands emptiness, the wisdom understanding emptiness. And in this case, one is able, you know, one can call it the ultimate nature of phenomena or reality, you know, so there are different ways of describing it, but essentially it is the same. You know, the mind that sees phenomena as not being inherently existing or truly established for its own side. So without this mind of without this mind of emptiness, then one is unable to cut the roots of samsara, as is mentioned in the verses. And then in the last line of that verse, it says, therefore, strive to understand dependent origination. And this dependent origination then is the method for achieving the true understanding of emptiness.
Mm-hmm. Remember that? Remember that?
Yes. So therefore, this emptiness is not an apparent phenomena, in that it is not easily it cannot be easily perceived by mere senses. And also on top above that, our mind has been accustomed to grasping upon phenomena as being truly existent. And this has been true since beginner's rebirth until now. We have been so accustomed to such a wrong state of mind. Therefore, for us to realize this wisdom of emptiness directly or immediately, you know, in the very beginning, it's almost impossible phenomena. But then we can understand that, firstly, how we should not comprehend emptiness as. You know, firstly, some people, when they hear the word emptiness or description of the teachings of emptiness, then they think that since all phenomena are not established from their own side, then they think that there's no such thing as karma. The karma does not exist. You know, therefore, they become reckless in their activities, in their actions, and then they end up in misery. So this is a wrong view. It's a view of nihilism. And then, on the contrary, we should not go to the other extreme of seeing of eternalism, of seeing all phenomena as being truly or inherently existing. So therefore, we need to understand emptiness by analyzing, you know, through analysis. And our analysis of emptiness should be free of the two extremes. As is traditionally said, it should be free from the two extremes of nihilism and eternalism. Yes. So therefore, here it is exhorted. You know, the practitioner is exhorted to understand emptiness on the basis of dependent origination. You know, so the benefit of apprehending emptiness on the basis of dependent origination is that it prevents us from falling to either of the two extremes of eternalism or nihilism. Therefore, firstly, one needs to analyze phenomena on the basis of dependent origination. Firstly, one perceives, one focuses on one's perception of phenomena as being truly existent, you know, then one remembers that if that phenomena is existing truly in the way that it appears to us, you know, then one should be able to find that truly existent phenomena upon either of its compositional parts, you know. So usually phenomena are composed of different parts, you know. So if there's a truly existent phenomena, it should be able to, or should be able to find it on the basis of its composition. When we separate each of the composition of that phenomena into its various parts and make it up, you know, it is made up of, then at that point of time we're unable to find this truly existent phenomena. So this is the way we should analyze this phenomena. Yes.
なるだ。あ、天人で番中もあ、天人ですね。天人で番中もあ、違うわ。え、天人の専用の方が、あ、ね、天場だ、通場だ、車場や、え、機械車両で。人で、あ、論議車線点で、車線点で、とか。あ、車線が通ってば。天人の専用で結構用意をる。人と通にまどばせや、あ、で、聞くよるわ。 인도텐네
So therefore, when we understand the word or the means of what we call dependent origination, you know that all phenomena arise in dependence on its composite parts instead of arising from its own side. And when we do this kind of meditation, we understand the word that all phenomena have arisen in dependence or in reliance, you know, independence or in reliance by relying or depending on other causal phenomena, then this current phenomena then arises. You know, so through understanding that phenomena have arisen from causes and conditions, therefore one understands that phenomena are not inherently existent from their own side. So this saves us from falling into the extremity of eternalism, you know, seeing all phenomena as being solidly, inherently, truly established from its own side. And then the other word, origination, you know, because in Tibetan it says dendre chung, so so the first word den means to rely, and that means that saves us from the extremity of seeing phenomena as truly existent or truly established. Den chungwa means something that has originated, something that was born out of this composition of these different phenomena. So therefore, this something that was born, originated, or was created, is that saves us from the extremity of nihilism, you know, saying that all phenomena do not exist. So therefore, one can see that the word dependent origination, you know, can be seen in two parts, the word dependent and also origination. The word dependent infers that there is no truly existent phenomena or object, truly established object from its own side. Now, origination or arisal, you know, then arising, then infers that there is a phenomena that is being created after the gathering of these composite parts. You know, a phenomena that has arisen is not entirely non-existing. So, therefore, this is a subtle aspect of this word dependent origination.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So therefore, how do phenomena actually exist? In actual fact, phenomena have arisen independent of the mind's labeling. The mind, by labeling through name, and through thoughts, through naming, you know, by verbalizing, by describing and giving a name to that phenomena, then does that phenomena come into existence. Therefore, phenomena come to existence on the basis of labeling and do not have a inherently existent truly established nature from their own side.
이 말이야. 근데 다 사망 파도지잖아. 어, 대신 말이야. 그런 거 내려봐 노동 좀 해봐. 근데 그런 거 요소 가려서나 맹에 따서 노예와 따서 된대지를 해서 대연에 따만 탈도이 말이야. 옛날에 대연에 노예든 차가대 가보여 왔는데 좀 내내게 따위를 만만하고 못 보셨어 말이야. 나 대답을 그런 거 내려봐 요 말이야. 맹에 따봐서 맞아 요 말이야. 세인들 아니 출근을 야 마시겠지. 네 렌데멘도 근데 제가 동료야 내가 요아인데 다 대가고 제도 다 대원마 런주비 따라 롱은에 저 두바지 요래스 근데 파로에 따고 요래 인소하게 돈은 용게 요래스 마도 그런 지분은에 두바 말해스 그런 은에 저 두바 로에 파다바 인소하지고는 요래스 이제 된대지에 선물
So therefore, this view that describes all phenomena as existing by mere labeling alone, this is the ultimate view in Buddhist philosophy regarding emptiness. However, since this view is extremely profound because it describes phenomena's state of existence as being mere labeling and name alone and nothing more than that, so therefore it is extremely difficult to grasp for people with inferior minds. Therefore, for these people of inferior minds, the Buddha set different forms of tenets or different schools of thought, you know, which are basically different ways of understanding emptiness, apprehending emptiness. So therefore, in this case, if the Buddha tells them that, you know, all phenomena are merely name alone and nothing more than that, a mere labeling of names, nothing more than that, then these people of inferior minds then do not know where they can establish the name of phenomena, because they then lose a base, you know, for a labeling phenomena or establishing phenomena for the basis. Then they think that often, because often our mere phenomena are mere names alone, then these inferior minds then think that there is no karma. You know, therefore, we do not need to create good karma, we do not need to protect ourselves from negative karma. And then they fall into the view of nihilism. So in order to protect them, these people from such a view, then the Buddha taught a lower tenet than the middle way Prasangika school, the Madhyamika Prasangika school. And then it taught the lower way, which is the Svatantrika, you know, or the lower school of the Madhyamika school, which it says that all phenomena are not only mere labeling alone, but from phenomena's own side, it must have a particular characteristic from its own side. So all phenomena exist on the basis of firstly name, as well as characteristic from the side of phenomena. When these two factors meet, you know, then that phenomena comes to existence. So this is the view of a Madhyamika Svatantrika school.
Mm-hmm. 또에 파다고 많이 막 그런 지구문에 들어가 있나 냄벌 줘봐서 해야 되겠어. 그래서 된대 여 말에 인소의 손에 여래서 쓴 말에 다 대요. 내 이나 냄벌 줘봐 여 말에 쓴 게 여래. 다 대로요 샤만 더 그래나 아니 냄벌 여말이 체바체네. 무보 주인 주의 제바 주인의 그래다 영화세야. 다 무보를 대체 다 근데 돈이 돼, 냄바 주바래스. 그래서 도비 다섯 미치 탐지, 냄바 마루바래스. 냄바 염미지 차체. 텐데스네, 요, 다와치 선바리. 선담비 다와.
So, then, through understanding that all phenomena are merely labeling alone, then the lower school, which is the Svatantrika school, then says that all phenomena do not exist inherently, you know, but then they do not exist for mere name alone as well, you know, that is too extreme for them. So they consider that all phenomena has to come about through the combination of name as well as the characteristic of that phenomena. So then for those people, for some people, this is again difficult for them to grasp. Then the Buddha taught the Chittamatra school, which says all phenomena, you know, as mere appearances of the mind, you know, as being those the dualistic appearances of phenomena being separate from mind, and that is the object to be abandoned. You know, that is the the phenomena that cannot be established. So therefore, for them, for the Chittamatra school, that it says that all phenomena have arisen as mere appearances of the mind. For them, that is the their view of emptiness.
ま、だ、てんや、あ、伝路やまれ。え、で、チャチェカンよ。あ、ロイでしゃまとばち。え、てんで、レラね、あ、伝路まかち。え、ね、だな、あ、コンザロンジャとビゼヨドトバス。コンザ、あ、プンソのマツイビ、コンザ、ロンジャとビゼヨ。え、てんでやまれ。え、コンザロンジャとビゼヨジトンビ、ダメてんばれ。
Therefore, even lower school of tenets, then they're unable to accept such a form of understanding. Then they establish, you know, in order to refute the truly established phenomena, you know, the phenomena truly established from their own side. Then the lower school, an even lower school, then says that all phenomena are lacking. An inherently existing person that is not reliant upon the composite parts, you know, a truly existent substance or phenomena that is not reliant upon the parts of the person, you know. So therefore, you know, it refutes that. So that is their form of or understanding of emptiness.
Yes. 대통령이 제도 아니 나만가마 로컨버지 나만가마 로컨 로의 누가야야 제인들거나 아니 담마담마야로 된대체네 다도 롱은 말로 그다가 대도고요 대도부시도 선발해
yes so because there are different beings with different levels or qualities of minds therefore the different views are being taught in succession, you know, from coarseness to gradual subtlety. So then, so that people can approach the theory of emptiness in a gradual fashion, you know, firstly by understanding, having a coarse understanding of the lower schools of emptiness, views of emptiness. Then gradually it can proceed to a higher level, up to the Madhyamika Prasangika school, that all phenomena are labeled on the basis basis of names. So therefore, this essentially all these different schools are explaining the view of emptiness. You know, it is the same subject, however, in varying levels of subtlety.
Nde nwa ta du ma du ba se du pge kona ma du ba tu tu ne ye yo de wa je no de ya te da to bi wa ma res ne tu ne tu ba sha da res so mi ba re nde ten de ye de nwa ta du ma du ba re se ye de ne me ro so na ma ten de ne lo ma go ka bla yu ge yo ba de yin na yo ne da ko ro ne ne lu de ro ne ma du ba yin ba re ne da ten de ro ne ma du ba to bi ta wa de 어론지는 제가 쇼서 모놈튼 진짜 아 단단히 뭐도 샤토고 멘도 근데 가도 제로 제용나 삼삼 근데 거는 눈바 줘야 모놈 줘야 제일 보기 어리
So therefore we as a antidote to the mind that constantly sees phenomena as truly existing then we over and over again we meditate upon the view of emptiness seeing phenomena as lacking a truly existent nature from its own side. And so then we see that all phenomena have to rely, you know, or depend on its parts or upon other phenomena to give rise to its name, label and its function and so on and so forth. And therefore, that is how phenomena comes into existence. You know, so therefore, phenomena are not self-sufficient from their own side to be established as existing. You know, phenomena are not self-sufficient to be self-existing. They come into existence through reliance on parts as well as labels and functions dependent on other phenomena, reliant on other phenomena. So that is the way we should understand emptiness. So meanwhile, before we actually achieve a true state of or realization of emptiness, we should pray day and night with our respite, you know, that we can achieve this realization or view of emptiness within our mind stream, that this view of emptiness may simply arise within our mind streams. So we should generate such intense interest as well as generate such strong prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So since beginningless times, we have been totally accustomed to the thought of grasping of phenomena as being truly existent. Therefore, at this point of time, for us to realize this emptiness, you know, we need to apply effort to understand that this mind of emptiness actually does not, the mind understanding emptiness does not contradict cause and effect. Now, if you see in the verse, it says, One who sees an infallible cause and effect of all phenomena in samsara nirvana and destroys all false perceptions has entered the path that pleases the Buddha. So therefore, the person who sees the phenomena, the emptiness of phenomena, as being non-contradictory to the law of cause and effect, then is the person who has understood the Buddha's intent, you know, who has understood the Buddha's, what the Buddha intended to express. So here, if one is, if phenomena are empty of inherent existence, therefore they are reliant upon other phenomena, you know, dependent on other phenomena to arise and appear, you know. So therefore, this is the what we call causes and conditions. Depending on causes and conditions, results can occur. So this, therefore, the view of emptiness is it is cohesive with the view of simultaneous with the view of cause and effect. If phenomena were self truly existent, then each and every phenomena would not its arisal would not be dependent or reliant upon other phenomena for its existence. Because each and every phenomena is not reliant on other phenomena for existence, then it goes against the law of cause and effect. You know, then whatever something does, you know, nothing, whatever you do will not affect something else, because then each action and the result will be completely separate to the phenomena. They're not reliant, not dependent on each other. You know, so therefore this again goes, this goes against the view of the Four Noble Truths. You know. But because all phenomena are empty of inherent existence, therefore the Four Noble Truths can be established. You know, we can establish the two causes, the two noble truths as the causes, as the noble truth of suffering, you know, and the cause of suffering, you know, as well as the result of the path, you know, which is cessation, and the cause for the result, you know, which is the path that is to be practiced or cultivated. You know, so therefore, the Four Noble Truths can be established, you know, on the basis of cause and effect, which is in conjunction with the view of emptiness, the phenomenon inherent, unlike inherent existence. So generally, people have a lot of intellectual debate about whether, you know, emptiness and karma can go hand in hand. But here we can see it definitely does, because from the viewpoint of Madhyamika Prasangika school, all phenomena have to lack inherent existence because they are dependent on other phenomena. You know, they're dependent on other phenomena. That's how cause and effect comes into place. You know, it relies on other causes, so the effect is the result of that phenomena comes into existence. So because of this reliance or dependence upon other phenomena, therefore, by asserting emptiness, you're also asserting the law of cause and effect as well.
Rongni rupan jindewe, jindong tar madhubi, tongba nila, ngeba nye yungya. Da rongshi je tongba reyo se xie yungdu, rongshi je tongba yinza, ene yodong rupan che ne, ene gandu melwa ngeba nye yungya. Yungdu, tenze che ne, nonga tenze la ngeba che rupan ro yungdu, tongba, tongso la ngeba che rupan ro ya. Tongso la kowa che rupan ro du,
So it says here, appearances are infallible, dependent origination. Voidness is free of assertions. As long as these two understandings are seen separate, one has not yet realized the intent of the Buddha. So therefore, it says here, appearances. Once you understand that by asserting that all phenomena are empty of inherent existence, and therefore all phenomena are dependent on origination, they're dependent on cause and effect, you know, dependent on causes to arise the effect of existence, therefore all phenomena do not exist from its own side, you know. So that also, one can also, by asserting emptiness, one asserts the law of cause and effect as well. So the more one asserts emptiness, the more one asserts the law of cause and effect. So therefore it says here, emptiness and appearances are not contradictory, you know. So here, what we call appearances are what we call infallible dependent origination. Because the more you assert emptiness, the more you assert law of course, cause and effect. You know, the more you assert karma. Therefore, the more you assert that the law of cause and effect, dependent origination, these are infallible. You know, so the more you meditate on karma, the more you should be able to increase your experience of emptiness. And the more you increase experience of emptiness, the more you meditate on emptiness, the more you should be able to increase your experience of the understanding. You know, that the law of karma, of dependent origination, is unfailing, infallible. So therefore, this is how, when you have these two, like, supporting each other along the path, this is when you've really, you've grasped the meaning of emptiness inseparable from dependent origination.
Yes. 도비스 웬마든지 좀비 도비스 때는 너무 많이 도비시 그거서 사는 거래. 근데 다 대답하면은 인조 동생이 온다고 했다와. 그래서 남지 도와치. 다 대지 제약에 남지 예나 대소는 시바치. 제네는 남지 도와 남성분 내가 돼 롱게 시. 근데 롱지라. 그래 다 남성년도 시바치 정성나. 네, 웬바땡에서, 웬바. 웬스야 되다가, 르웬바. 그래서 신자시랑 매드게 리조다. 세웬바. 그래서 남인다. 남자 남성, 남성 남자인 그런 노동이 노다. 그래서 웬바. 즉, 웬비건에, 아니, 손주지 돕지. 땡진다. 타족에, 손주지 공모대, 녀도 졸시에서. 사고본보다 담노 아닌가래. 이제 대 고치 속에 로마 그래서 안 됐으면 그거나 고마 다른 뭐 자나치 야모로세야 야노세야 대화표 자들 얘기하는 마고 아니 버스 내리세기 속 예비고네 버 세상이 버.
So then the following verses are the same meaning. It says that when these two realizations are simultaneous or concurrent, for a mere sight of infallible dependent origination comes through the knowledge that completely destroys all modes of mental grasping. At that time, the analysis of profound view is complete. Appearances clear away the extreme existence. Voidness clears away extreme non-existence. When you understand the arising of cause and effect from a viewpoint of voidness, you're not captivated by either extreme view. Since as you're a child, when you realize the keys of the three principles of the path, depend on solitude and strong effort and quickly reach the final goal. So here, the three principal aspects of the path are expressed in verse form, you know, which are renunciation, bodhicitta, and the perfect view of emptiness, correct view of emptiness. So, it says here, having achieved, when you have realized the key points, you know, of the three principles of the path, then you should depend on solitude. So here, solitude refers to physical and mental solitude. Physical in the sense that you stay in a way that, in a place that is far away from a lot of distractions and disturbances, you know, physical disturbances. And you also your mind should remain in solitude in that it always ensures that it is free from its own distractions and free from delusions, afflictive emotions, and so forth. So then by depending on strong effort, then quickly reach the final goal, you know, achieve the realizations of the path. So this here says the word child because it's in a very affectionate term that Lama Tsongkhapa uses in the composition of this text, because this text had come about through a request of one of his personal disciples from the area of Gyaurong in Tibet, who had written, you know, to Lama Tsongkhapa requesting him to compose such a text. So in order to express his affection for this particular disciple, then the term child was being used.
Yes. 이다다 근데 다게 티마 제도거나 너무 잡성도되어리 너무 소리 동거에 말에 너무 토되어리.
So in this case, in this very short teaching itself, Rinpoche has given the oral transmission of this text, the three principles of the path. The oral transmission portion of the teachings does not require any understanding. All it requires is mere hearing of the words that are being pronounced by the Lama.
네. 이다 내리자는 남소냠내지, 남소냠내지를 가보나, 뇌뇌네, 가내라 잡았다고 써, 제일 무지, 제 되나 아 예나 준비 조사 조정치 네 멘라프 네 대제라네 다 제는지 마 소소다 담정 삼바치 네 거네 마 삼노 동계 동계치 예 네 요 멘마데 되는 뭐 여도 로시 그 성현도 제는 뭐지 투 제베 거네 버스 투 예베 거네 론 아니 담정 삼바치 대제베 나는 된지 내지 용비요 제도제는 안서 줘봐나 투 예고 약서 오는 뭐지 요마가 옛날 영화 단대 가운데 남자 남소 아 거네 남소노 근데 제가 인도 대차는 투진의 버스 담정 삼바치 남정 삼바치는 대제라니 바로한게요 아, 다 제르미치랑 송바 농지에 냠네 제기 근데 대다 제 투가 진질럽도 소서 소갔다 근데 논 거래요
So having received this teaching of the three principles of the path, you can cultivate it as a daily practice on the basis of the Guru Yoga of Lama Tsongkhapa, which we call Garden Hagyema, 100 Deities of Tushita. Then when you recite Garden Hagyema, within that text itself, there's an offering of the seven limbs to Lama Tsongkhapa, who is the principle of the merit field in that practice. Then by requesting Lama Tsongkhapa, having done the seven limb offering, then one makes request to Lama Tsongkhapa, one offers a mandala, and any amount of mandala offerings and request for blessings, and then meditate on the, and then read the verses, you know, individually, and think that Lama Tsongkhapa is reciting these verses to you, you know, and then as you're listening to these verses by mentally going through them, then you meditate on the meaning of the verses. And when it comes to the end of the verse, and it says, child, so at that point of time, you should think that Lama Tsongkhapa is addressing you as a spiritual child with great joy. So generally, there's not much cause for enlightened beings to find rejoicing in our actions. You know, the things we generally do are the least cause for the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to be rejoicing in. But at that moment of time when they're doing our practice, we're attempting to turn our minds towards the path by focusing on the three principles aspects, and then but we're trying to meditate on the path. So this is when we turn away from our delusions and so forth. This is what causes the enlightened beings to be happy. So that moment of time, you know, that moment of time is the true cause for enlightened beings to be happy with us. So therefore, Lama Tsongkhapa says, and calls us child, which you think that he does it with great joy, and we experience great happiness as well. So this is actually a very profound method, and it creates very auspicious conditions to be close to Lama Tsongkhapa, to achieve realizations like him in the future. So this is the way you should practice. So in whatever practice that we may engage in, it's very important to be mindful of the beginning and the end. Especially in the beginning, one should always generate a very positive motivation, very constructive motivation, because whatever motivation we arise to do that practice, that motivation decides the direction or the destination that we end up in. Therefore, it's very important to adjust one's motivation accordingly in the beginning of any practice. And the end of the practice also, it is very important that we dedicate such that the positive energy of karma is not lost. You know, that the positive karma that is generated through this practice is not lost, but dedicated and stored away for a greater goal to happen. So therefore, at the end, it is also very important to make pure prayers, you know, in dedicating the best possible way. Within any practice, it's always very important to remember the beginning motivation and the ending of concluding prayers.
So,
So in general, having the best dedications are those that you dedicate towards the achievement of full complete enlightenment, which is Buddhahood, and you also can also dedicate to arisal of the Bodhicitta mind. As you can see on page 6 of the prayer books, it has dedication for Bodhicitta mind, as well as dedication of Manjushri and Samantabhadra. So here it's encompassing. Now, these two particular bodhisattvas make very extensive prayers, so it's sort of like condensing all the prayers within this one verse. So it goes like saying, like, whatever prayers that these two bodhisattvas have made and dedicated, I too dedicate my merits in the same way, you know, as just as they did. So also the following that, it says the bodhisattva deeds. So here it is also referring to all the prayers that all the Buddhas have prayed as the best prayers, best dedications that you could ever do at the end of your practices. So again, condensing all of those into one verse, and whatever the Buddhas have praised as the best dedication, I also dedicate in the same way towards those dedications. So this is the essence of these two verses. So the teaching today will be up to this point. You may ask questions if you have any.
There's a question from someone who's listening on the internet from England. It's about karma and the time of death. I have a conflict that I would appreciate help in resolving. It is concerning karma. On the one hand, I understand how we accumulate baggage on our journey and that this determines our state of being for our next rebirth. On the other hand, the Buddhist teachings emphasize the importance of our state of mind at death. My question is, does this mean that an individual who has led a good life, not doing harm intentionally, can have an unfavorable rebirth following a traumatic death? So what Rinpoche is saying is that if a person, even if they have if a person, even though they have committed, they created a lot of positive karma their entire lives, but at the time of death, should they die a traumatic death, depends on how their minds react to that trauma that they undergo. If due to a lifelong practice of familiarizing one's mind with positive thoughts, then there is hope that at that point of time, even though it may be a traumatic death, the person is able to associate, able to transform their minds into positive minds, even though they're physically going through a trauma. So it's all a matter of familiarization.
on the other hand, if a person has a lifelong created positive karma and so on and so forth, but you know, if that person dies with, even though undergoing trauma, doesn't mean the person dies with a negative mind. But if that person undergoing the trauma, for example, they may be murdered or whatever, then if that at that moment they generate anger, you know, they generate strong anger or attachment, you know, strong anger, then that anger or very strong delusions will destroy the negative karma and then cause them also to propel them to a very to a lower state of existence, an inferior rebirth. So therefore, we can see that it is very important, you know, the last moment of death, you know, last moment of this life, rather, the moment of death time, that state of mind at that time is very important, that we're able to constantly familiarize and try to maintain a positive state of mind at all times, such that so that at the time of death we can maintain that state of mind. So even though that person has spent an entire life creating positive karma, then even though that person dies a traumatic death, but that positive karma that has been created throughout the period of time would not be wasted, because karma is infallible. So therefore, this karma would is definitely of good benefit. You know, it would ripen in the future existence in the form of happiness. So therefore, dependence upon. So therefore, we generally know that if you die with a positive mind, you have a positive rebirth. Negative mind, then that negative mind leads to an inferior rebirth. But even if you die with a neutral state of mind, then that would depend which rebirth you take. Then depends upon which type of mind you're more familiar with, and that you have more familiarization with while we are alive. Therefore, it is very important to cultivate positive thoughts even while we are alive.
The Madhyamika Svatantrika view of emptiness seems much more gross to me, actually, than the mind only, which seems to me closer to the Svatantrika view. What am I misunderstanding?
It seems grosser to you than the...
Yeah, than the mind only.
So the question is, the Prasangika Svatantrika view seems to be grosser to the which grosser than mind only school, the Siddha Marga school. So what is the difference? You know, how is it grosser or subtler?
So apparently, in
the Madhyamika Madhyamika Svatantrika school, it is still within the school of Madhyamika. They completely refute all self-established phenomena, truly established phenomena. However, within the school of Siddhamatra, mind-only school, truly established phenomena is not totally refuted. It says that all there is this term, if you don't know how to translate. And so it says the spontaneously accomplished la.
Mm.
So it says that it says this emptiness. So therefore, in the mind only school, the emptiness itself is seen as inherently existing, truly established on its own side. So therefore, that category of phenomena is not refuted as being truly existent. You know, its refutation is limited to that, and the emptiness itself is seen as truly existent phenomena.
But the characteristic of the object isn't that self-existent in the Madhyamika Svachandrika school.
Umar rang yupa nang lo la si ming taba zam thang yi chue kuran gi. Rangoni chuba thiye de du tsiye rive. Tsiye ma re. It's not seen as being inherently existent, truly established. So kind of a tricky. And so the Joyce, did you get a question? No. So the question is that okay. so the in this person Madhyamika Prasangika's Svatantika school, it says that you know there is the name and also the characteristic from inside of phenomena. So the characteristic from the viewpoint of Madhyamika Svatantika school, it is not a self-existent phenomenon. It's not truly established for its own side. So all emptiness and karma and dependent origination are, he understands that, and also consciousness can play a part within this functioning phenomena. But then within all that, can there be free will in this amidst all these combinations? 你怕咱们的抗造科长给让忘记有那是对那抗造科长给雷萨巴萨巴汤因为雷宁帕提可是给我当然的这地方没有那是雷萨巴萨亚汤本来雷宁坦荡啊是雷萨巴的少的长吧雷萨巴我妈妈的没开始的你同一段 因为你看这里雷萨巴萨的雷给我们买给雷的面不长给给我萨巴可是雷萨巴的萨巴的你看给雷萨巴的萨巴的可是让我们买的可是你看给空气差你的雷萨巴萨巴的雷萨巴我们买的这个多因为看上去让你的让我们有的可是什么颜色可以你的鼻子红心哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈
very much for the talk, and I understand it. And I believe, yes, there's a human origin, there's karma, cause and effect, and emptiness. And everything is ruled by these causes. And consciousness is also. And if consciousness is, therefore, we don't, free will does not exist.
Di kāngsā kōrāngi shēpa jīyō rāndhīshī shēpa dī sāmo dāyā thāng lē sāpa sūyā thē kēsī dē thāng lē gī jīng bāyī nās kēsī lē gī jīng bāyī jīng shā bāyī nās kōrāngi dī kāsā rāngwāng yō mā rā lē sāpa sūyā kī rāngwāng yō mā rā dī dī nē sū dī lē yī nās
Lady
신데라 베도 가르이나요 아 대네 생감이 내지 남미는 때에 정말 인사와 생감이 근데 천데 내가 사드 사바 여러면서나 해 여러와 아 근데 천데 내가 사드 사빈 드브 아 다 통주 용주지 내에서 최도도 산에 세매 메뉴야 아 가시에는 내 삼십 모든이나 남성매야
So therefore, all of our experiences of happiness and suffering in this life are caused by a direct result of our minds, a direct result of karma they created in previous lives. But however, within this life, there's still a free will to create new karma. And for example, the new karma is being created can ripen in the form of a ripening result, in the form of rebirth in the future life, or it can ripen in this life as well. For those people who have created very heavy karma, it can ripen in this life as well. So that is the proof that we can create new karma, experience under direct results of these new karma.
Mm-hmm.
嗯，现在，嗯，马上我就赢了。嗯，马帮这个，这个马没动啊，就谁家动不赢呢？嗯，马没得了，龙王要马了。马帮的谁家动不了？赢了，对吧？两家拥有了。老。对吧？两家拥有了。嗯。当给个马帮可能呢，拥有了，可王要进的当一下，第一没谁拥住，可还没给人杀不是？嗯。现在对。
영원계시 좀 말아 봐. 시바 등급에 내정을 좀 말했어. 다 내사도 사야 말했어. 그 왕자는 또 비춰인다. 왕프랑이 왕 그네야 사도 내사야 무슨. 제자 대체야 말했어. 영원이나 체야 말했어. 영원. 영원도 주가 있나요? 체야 말했어. So in this case,
If the karma that's been created, a new karma that's been created, one can experience the results. But also, for example, even Rinzai says, even in the case of when there's no free will, as in the case of a soldier that's being sent to battle by a general, you know, to assassinate somebody, to kill somebody, then even though the general, you know, that assassin or the soldier has no free will, but then the karma is still created by that soldier and also by the general who sent that soldier. So it is, even though in this case the soldier has no free will, but you know the karma is created by the soldier and also by the general. So in general, Rinzai talks about generating, when practicing refuge, you have to generate fear of being born in the lower realms by reflecting on the negative karma created through past lives. But generally, it's very difficult to see karma created in past lives. So we need to undergo strong purifications or have clairvoyance and so forth to be able to see these karma, you know, so to generate fear.
Jangan 근데 대란이 제왕가만 로고요. 제왕가만 요바하 고소나. 에 딩가만 요그래 딩가만 요그래. 근데 제가 냄새 간간에 야 중요한 거 막아. 근데 돈도 다시게 전화 못 했는데 제가 내가이나. 근데 그런 리퀘스트 해야죠. 에 된대게네. 삼도도지래.
So Rinpoche says, you know, it's not necessary to have clairvoyance. All you need to do is to accept that there are past existences, past lives. If you establish and you truly accept the theory that there are past lives, then prior to this life, you know, there's a previous life, which is a, you know, life full of karmas, different karmas. And prior to that is another life. So it goes back to infinitude. And within those infinitude lives, you know, because there's infinite possibilities, within that, then we have been, for example, been born many times as vicious beasts, you know, or animals. In which case, that during those rebirths, we have created a lot of karma killing, you know, many times a day for food, you know. So in this case, that karma that's created, you know, is definitely still there. So based on this logic alone, then you'll be able to so-called see or feel the possibility that there is negative karma, a lot of negative karma in your mind stream, and then you will be able to drain into the fear and driving, propelling you to its refuge. So the question is, so Richard mentioned that when you are familiarized with the practice of taking the sufferings of others, then gradually come a point of time whereby suffering does not daunt you anymore. You know, your mind is constantly free and happy. So assuming that refers to physical suffering, taking physical suffering, but we'll also assume that also includes mental suffering as well. So the question is, in that state of mind whereby the mind is undisturbed, even my mental suffering, what is going on in that mind? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the mind itself is in despair, how is the mind
staying firm? Yes. 你现在是，对于冬天去讲解这张吧，因为明显把给你们啊冬天唐唐不浪是吧？ 明显把你冬天树木有冬天嘛，是明显把给，本来说是给生的冬天树的长吧，因为明显被生的冬天的树量也给你把切多，你太给人不切去种嘛，你知道，但嗯，开始大不了心冬冬天光脚的呢，那你嘛去大冬天给开始说说了啊，开始拉起土给嘛的，说说给生有啊，冬天长的嘛，冬天你不行，冬天长的长的。
对，俺这地方呢，你年纪小轻不过是吧？年纪，当年结完了，俺这年纪过是吧？当年结小轻不用呢，没得东西查着钱呢，啥？然后东西开始交那钱啥？然后也要多查是吧？他然后给刚才有的这个呢，以前的刚才说两头也难。
So at the point when one is undergoing mental despair, and because in one's mind, as mentioned before, when you're doing this practice of giving and taking, the main focus is to enhance your mind of compassion. So the mind of compassion is the primary working agent, you know, in your mind. So when you're focusing on taking, when you're undergoing mental despair, then because, you know, you've always been accustomed to taking the sufferings of others, whatever suffering comes about in existence, immediately you pray or you visualize, imagine taking the sufferings of others onto the similar suffering yourself. So at that point of time, Because this mind of compassion, you know, essentially, it's not only wishing others to be free of suffering as well, it's also giving up your self-cherishing mind, you know, abandoning the self-cherishing mind. So because the self-cherishing mind is being abandoned, then at that point in time, you'll be able to, you know, whatever, even in mental sufferings, we can take the mental sufferings of others and use that, you know, against that mental suffering. At that point in time, then the mind is filled with compassion towards that person that's undergoing mental despair, and you also feel joy at being able to take the suffering of that mental despair of that person upon yourself. So in general, meditating on this practice of exchanging yourself and others, or giving and taking, in this case, it is not easily accomplished, you know, practically speaking, unless you achieve a certain level of spiritual realization and accomplishment, whereby then you're able to actually, you know, you might be able to actually bring about that. But for beginners, you know, it's not possible to actually take the suffering of others. This is a mere instruction to help practitioners, you know, enhance their practice of bodhicitta and compassion. Yes. So at that point of time when you're meditating on taking the sufferings of others and giving your happiness to them, you know, it's very important also to meditate on emptiness as well. To not forget to meditate on emptiness. So whatever teaching you have received today, please apply it into practice. So turn to page 3. Short. Brief mandala offering. Brief or long? I said brief. Is it brief or long? Okay. third paragraph. Second paragraph of page 6.
Oh.